Welcome to the Swiss Show. As always, I'm your host, Ryan Tuckwood. Today we're going to be doing something slightly different. We're leading up to Christmas, so I'm a little bit festive, if you can see me on camera. And I'm going to be talking about the 12 steps to a successful 2022. So 12 different things or aspects of life that we can focus on that are really going to drive high levels of performance and success in 2022. So I've got my beautiful assistant, Jackson Ernie.
Assistant.
Yeah, you're my assistant. Or what would you like to be called?
Videographer, let's go there.
Head assistant videographer. and he's going to be reminding me of the 12 steps that I created a few days ago in accordance with this podcast. So let's kind of crack into it.
Fantastic. Ryan, well, your first step that you have set for 2022 is sleep on goals and write them again.
Oh, I did. I remember writing that one. Yeah. Whenever I do goal setting, I encourage people to instinctively write their goals down. As you know, and as many people know that have been following us for a few years, we break our goals down into a few different verticals, starting off with life goals, yearly goals, monthly goals, all the way down to weekly goals, and then even a daily to-do list. But once we get down to monthly and weekly goals, we break it across into five different verticals, being personal, business, health, financial, and family. I ask them to give themselves a score out of 10 on each of those categories of where they feel they are right now in life. So if they give themselves a 5 out of 10 for health, I ask them what do they need to do to move the needle to a 6 out of 10 in the next 10, 20, 30 days, quarter, whatever it may be. So I get them to do that instinctively first time around, and then I encourage people to sleep on it. Because what happens is when you wake up in the morning and you look at your goals again that you wrote the day before, they're never as big as you actually want them to be. So we instinctively constrict our goals for as we don't want to be seen as maybe pushing too high or something that's unattainable. So I want the instinctive goal. I want you to go away, sleep on it, and then write them again in the morning and add another 10 or 20% on top of it.
Sure. Is there any reason why you had that first on the list?
Because goals for me is everything. If you look at our whole curriculum, the Swiss Academy, we break it down into two parts. We've got mindset, we've got skill set, and then one of the key verticals in the academy itself or our curriculum is state of mind, and the very first one is goal setting. So I consider goals to be life's GPS, and if you don't know where you're going because you've never actually verbalized it or got it out of your head, then how are you going to get there?
Perfect. Alrighty. Well, number two, you've got commit to change, set deadlines, milestones, and specific metrics to know you're moving forward.
Ooh, okay. I think change starts in our head first. I think you can just hope for change. You can cross your fingers and it'll be better next year, and all of a sudden January the 1st rolls around and my life will be different and COVID will be finished, and we can't live by chance. We've got to live by choice, and the choice starts in our head. I need to make a commitment to self that I'm going to become a better person, that I'm going to become a better husband, wife, father, mother, business owner, colleague. I need to commit to that, to self. I got to hold myself to a high level of accountability and a standard to it as well. And to enable me to do that, I need to set specific milestones or a timeline for my goals. Mm. So the old adage is that we write SMART goals: specific, measurable, achievable, relevant is one word that I've changed in there. And timely. And for me, the time-bound nature of your goals is probably the most important, because if you don't have a deadline, if you don't have a, I will achieve this by this particular date, we will procrastinate on it, because that's the way that human beings are wired. We are not wired to just do things because we should. We're wired to do things because we need and we have a deadline to do it. Most people, if they've got bills to pay, they'll probably pay it on the final day of the month. There will be a very, very small portion. Some people will pay it after the final deadline day. There'll be a very small portion of the population that will pay it as soon as that invoice comes through. And maybe rightly so, from a cash flow perspective, from whether interest rates matter anymore, but I think you get the gist. So yeah, making sure that you commit to change self. I would write a contract to self as well. I would say, I, Ryan Tuckwood, by December the 31st, 2022, will have committed to changing and implementing XYZ and achieving all of these goals, because when I do, I'm going to feel like, insert the emotion that you want to feel at the end of the year.
Awesome, fantastic. Now, moving on to step three, you've got find an accountability buddy.
Oh, yes. Accountability buddies are amazing, and they don't need to be paid. It doesn't need to be a paid coach or anything of the like. It can just be a friend, a colleague. It could be your partner. Sometimes I found getting somebody outside of your network is actually more powerful because they don't have an emotional attachment to you. So I know for me, the people that have held me accountable over the years, it's been such a simple process. Monday morning, we text each other our goals for the week across personal, financial, business, health, and family. And then on a Friday afternoon, we'll either have a quick catch-up phone call or just a text or an email to say, hey, this is what I achieved. Mm-hmm. So just knowing that somebody is going to check in on me, not necessarily reprimand me or punish me if I don't achieve it, but just knowing that somebody is going to be there waiting and almost unconsciously disappointed in me if I don't do what I said I was going to do. The Gartner Institute suggests that you improve your chances of completing those goals by over 70% by having somebody just waiting on the other end of a text on a Friday afternoon. So look at your network right now. Try to filter out those that are really close to you. Try to filter out those that maybe don't have their own house in order, that don't kick goals themselves, and look to see if you can level up to somebody that's already got a really good discipline in their life. For those people that are in our academy, we encourage them to do that in our weekly focus sessions. We say, look, there's a community here, there's a network, which is that we did that intentionally. We wanted to create that overlap in people's lives, so that you could go, hey, Jackson, mate, I really want to drive myself next year in 2022, but I know I won't be able to do it by myself. A little bit like when you go to the gym, right? If you've got a gym buddy that's spotting you, obviously I go to the gym quite a lot. You can tell that I lift a lot of weights. And I wouldn't push, I wouldn't lift, I wouldn't run as fast or as hard as I could if I did it by myself. So find yourself an accountability buddy.
Fantastic. Awesome. Now, step four, you've got schedule in your diary a full 12 months in advance and remember to book you time.
Yes. Glenn Richards said this to me. So Dr. Glenn Richards is one of our investors and came on board through the Shark Tank capital raise. So he's a very, very successful individual. He has, I think, over 30 different businesses in his portfolio. He's the chairman on the board at least two ASX-listed companies. Founding managing director of Green Cross Vets Pet Barn, had 6,000 staff and 600 stores. So he knows a thing or two about systems, but also how to balance that with having children, wife, and all of that jazz. So he said to me, and it was reinforced by a lady called Anna Samios, that's another one of my mentors, that I need to block out my diary for 12 to 18 months. 18 months is even better if you can go that far ahead. Mm. So if we're doing it right now, leading up towards Christmas, take yourself all the way through to the end of the next financial year, and June 23. So open up your diary, say, firstly, I gotta look after me. If we go back to those five core verticals of goal setting, the one that's often neglected is health. Second one that's often neglected is family. So the way that Glenn and both Anna recommended I do it is that they're the two things that go in there first. So when am I going to take a holiday? What am I going to do? What time am I dedicating to health and fitness and me time? Anna got me to diarize in my calendar sanity time. So it does say in my diary strategy time, but it's actually sanity time. So the way I do that is bookend my week. So on a Monday morning, I've got a couple of hours of sanity time first thing in the morning, and then Friday afternoon, I've got a couple of hours of sanity time as well. So that I'm not sitting there on a Sunday night with my family like, shit, I've got a Monday morning meeting that I forgot about and not organized. I've always got that time to catch up and prep if my weekend goes awry, and having a couple of kids, that can definitely happen. Mm. And the same thing on a Friday, it gives me an opportunity to close the week down as well. So book them in there, and then the way I've done it next year, I'm never more than 6 to 8 weeks away from a holiday. So that could be just a long weekend. So I've booked sporadically random Fridays off every 6 to 8 weeks. I've also looked at family holidays, so going away for like 4 or 5 days as a family. Don't know where we're going just yet, depending on the world, but regardless, I'll be taking time off. And then for me, one thing, and this is quite unique to me, I guess, but one thing that I know does happen historically is that for whatever reason, when I take a holiday, I get sick on the holiday. Mm. I think there's a lot of pent up like energy and almost like underlying stress of just going full pelt every single day for a long period of time, that when I stop, I then get sick.
Yep.
So what I made sure I haven't done this time is that after a holiday, I'm not running a boot camp, which is what I have done previously. Because on the boot camp, it's 3 days of my real focus, almost 10-hour days. It's a lot of energy of teaching. So now I've booked the boot camps just prior to a holiday. So I do the boot camp. I give everything that I've got. I leave nothing in the tank. Give the clients the best experience. And then I'll take a holiday afterwards.
Sure.
So, awesome. So yeah, open up your diary today and book it out for the next 12 to 18 months.
Fantastic. Awesome. Now, step five, you've got create a process for making decisions.
Yeah. So I'm historically a poor decision maker. What do I mean by that? I procrastinate. I'm a people pleaser. I don't want to upset people. So I would rather sit on the fence than I'd rather sit on the fence than just say, hey, look, we need to have a chat. Something's not right, or the business is not going in the right direction. Maybe somebody wants to catch up for a coffee. And in the early days of business, I think many of us fell into the trap or fall into the trap of going for coffees and having meetings for meetings. And what we need to do is protect our diary, protect our time. So that was where this kind of came from initially, was how can I become more effective, more efficient in my decision making so I can just say no to people? So what I stumbled across was the old Benjamin Franklin close. I don't know if you've heard of that strategy, but just grab a piece of paper, every decision that you've got to make, draw a line down the piece of paper, what are the pros, what are the cons, and make a decision from there. Like pretty much everything in your life, whether it be a new LMS, a new phone system, deciding if we're going to move to a new office, could be anything. But have a process that you use that you feel comfortable so that when you make a decision, you go, that was an educated decision. I actually spent some conscious time thinking about it, but I didn't overthink it. I didn't overprocess it and ultimately push decisions back and then miss opportunities.
Sure. Awesome. That's fantastic. Number six, you've got audit your network and intentionally select a new one.
This could be a little bit controversial. So this came from looking at my newsfeed a few years ago and getting like frustrated. And I don't know if I was getting angry, but I was getting frustrated with the people that I saw, the posts they were putting up, when it was like negative, negative, negative. And then the more I thought about it, I'm like, whose fault's that? Like, that's my fault. That's my network of friends. They're the people that I've decided to expose myself to. So I started to randomly just start unfollowing people that I didn't believe were actually adding value to my day, my week, my life. That they might have been distracting me away from where my attention needed to be within the business, with my family. So what I didn't realize then, that was an audit, essentially. So now I intentionally audit, and I do it probably about every 3 months. I'll look at my Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn specifically. LinkedIn, I haven't really had to remove too many people, but Instagram and Facebook definitely. And I just go, look, is there anybody in here right now that maybe they're close to me in some facet, but I don't need to be exposed to them in other areas, and I certainly don't appreciate the way the content that they share on socials. So I started to just unfollow them. I reckon I've probably only deleted a couple in that time, but you can unfollow, so you don't need to tell the people that I'm unfollowing you. So now my newsfeed, and it took a little bit of time because of the lag, is just full of positive energy. And there's a lot of coaches on there. There's a lot of sales orientated people. And I see a lot of content that actually inspires and motivates me. So so that audit is really important. But then there's the secondary part to this, which is intentionally creating your network. Alicia and I did this just before Christmas last year. We were getting to the stage where we were catching up with friends and colleagues and other people that we'd known for a long time, but maybe they didn't have kids, maybe they don't have a business, maybe they don't have kids and a business. And we realized there was a bit of a disconnect. It wasn't like it was, which once you have babies and you run businesses for a while and they get bigger, then it probably is never going to be that case. And that's okay, right? That's we outgrow people and we meet new people. So we said, well, who do we enjoy spending time with? And we looked at, again, back into our network and the people that we enjoyed spending time with, the ones where it was really easy. It just flowed and nothing mattered, and we didn't have to force conversation. They were people that had kids and they ran businesses, and they knew what it was like to work 12 to 14 hours a day, then come home and have to work again as a parent. They knew that Alicia works exceptionally hard to run her salon, and she's a full-time mum as well. So we went, how can we have more of those people in our life? So we created our hit list, for want of a better phrase. And we literally built out a list of names. I've never shared it with anybody, but those people are in our life right now. So anybody listening to this right now, they're like, they only reached out to us in January. That's weird. You're probably on the hit list. And we have intentionally spent more time with people that own businesses and have children. And it's made for a really enjoyable last 12 months. So that might not be your specific scenario, but it could be that you're wanting to start a business, you're struggling, maybe you've got challenges with new staffing and recruiting and cash flow, whatever it may be, and you want to surround yourself with people that have been there and done that before because they get it and they just understand you. So I'm now not taking parenting advice from people that haven't got parents, and I'm certain parents that haven't got kids, and I'm sure they've got parents, and I'm certainly not taking business advice from people that have never started a business. So it just makes it easy because I'm not frustrated. Yeah. So intentionally build out your hit list for 2022.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't mind me adding, that's one thing that while I've been learning off of you, I've changed in my life, and then in 2021, I ticked off all of my goals this year, and I've relayed it back to auditing my social media network and then who I'm putting in my life as well. So
yeah.
With my social media network, I cut anyone that has that idea of shiny object syndrome, because I was going on social media every day and falling into that same trap.
Yeah.
I unfollowed all the people like that, and now I've been running and building my own business for now, the same business for over a year and a half. And
yeah.
I've ticked off all my goals this year, and so I relate that back to that one step.
Yeah,
just it's changing my terminology of what is success and what is it you do every day is important. Changing business to business isn't.
It's really hard not to get consumed with other people's lives, like when you're exposed to them all of the time, like rightly or wrongly, whether they're positive or negative, it will impact you. So if you have got people that are starting a new business every single week, and they're always jumping on the next big thing, it unconsciously that encourages you to do the same. Unfortunately,
it makes it acceptable.
It makes it acceptable, and it makes it okay. And I'm not saying that is wrong. Like if that's what gets you going, that's fine. I just personally haven't seen too many people that have gone business to business, no real passion behind it, just starting a new venture all of the time to say they're an entrepreneur. I personally haven't seen too many people be really, really successful through that, or on a deeper level have ultimate fulfillment. And that's just personal experience through speaking to them away from social media. You said cut. One thing I would say is that we don't necessarily need to cut people. We can just reduce our exposure to them.
Sure.
It could even be family members as well. Like, and that's the hardest part. The people that we often need to reduce our exposure to they're the people that are closest to us. They're the ones that we might have grown, we might have changed, and they fear that. So they're not doing it intentionally, but they unconsciously try and hold you down and pull you back, because the more you grow, the more it kind of highlights how much they haven't grown, and it creates like a disconnect. So I don't eliminate friends and family, but I reduce my exposure to them. Or I control the narrative around the conversation. So if I can see it going down one particular route, and they think I work way too hard, you're going to kill yourself, money won't make you happy. If I can see that it's going to go down that route as it previously did, I won't even talk about business to them. Like, I don't even let it go that way. If I know there's going to be a conversation about a pandemic and vaccinated versus unvaccinated, and I can see the narrative going down that way, I won't even allow that to kind of to kick off, right?
So
we can control the narrative in the early part.
Fantastic. Awesome. Alrighty, so now for number 7, you've got always go to bed more educated than you woke. Invest 5% of your salary back into you.
Yeah, I've been saying this for many, many years, that when I went on my, I don't think it was a journey of personal development at the time, but my journey of realizing that sales could be learned, like over a decade ago, my mantra soon became, I just want to go home tonight, and I just want to know more than I did yesterday. I just want to see a little bit of progression. So progression, not perfection. And that evolved into a little saying of always go to bed more educated than you woke up. And then I remember watching a video of Tony Robbins, probably about 2015. And I know what he was doing, and you guys all know what he's doing and why I even say it these days, but it does ring true. And he said that you should invest 5% of your salary back on you every single year. So that's relative. I respect that. But if you're making $100,000 a year, spend $5,000 a year on you, right? And commit to that. Commit to your own personal development. Like we have our tax that we got to pay. We got our overheads. We got our bills. We got our car insurance. We got our petrol. We got all of those things. But what are you putting aside for you? And he recommended 5%. So my question to people is always, over the next 12 months, like, what areas of you are you actually going to work on? And not just fluff around and I might read a book or I might just stumble across a course, but intentionally go out there and say, like, this year I'm going to learn this, 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 and this. And before you just jump into something, go away and do some research. Like, find the best in the business and see what they've got available. And it might not always be within that 5% budget, I get that, but is there a first step that you can take? You might not even need to pay for anything, right? That's just a rough guide. You can find lots of free resources online. But do something and intentionally go, this year, I'm going to work on understanding financial literacy better. I'm going to understand how to work SEO online, whatever it may be, but be intentional about that personal development.
Yeah, awesome. Alrighty, now I like this one. Step eight.
Did you not like the other ones?
Well, yeah. No, this one, it stands out for me. Always have a Sunday session, or a sesh, I think it's written.
Okay. So my Sunday sesh is something that I...
Tell us, Ryan, what do you do on your Sunday sesh?
So my Sunday sesh is way different than it used to be. So Sunday is now an acronym for me. So my Sunday sesh is not going to the Bavarian and doing two or three steins, unfortunately. Sunday sesh is find yourself half an hour at the end of every week or the start of each week, whichever way you look at it, and plan the week ahead. So if you want the full acronym, the S stands for set your goals, and we've already gone through that, right? Mm-hmm. So spend some time and we write 5 goals in a week across those 5 verticals. I'll say it again: personal, business, financial, health, and family. So write 1 goal for each of them for the next 5 to 7 days, mm-hmm. ultimately. What's on after Sunday U is understand potential challenges that come up. This came from Glenn Richards as well, where he speaks about the what if scenarios. So what if I get somebody calling sick on a Monday morning? What if one of my kids is sick on Wednesday and they can't go to kindy, right? Just write down those potential challenges that we might face, because I don't want to have to deal with it on the spot. I want to be proactive, not reactive. And I know that can sound quite pessimistic, but I know for me, since I've been planning ahead and thinking about the what if scenarios, even when we do our quarterly all hands meetings, it's allowed us to think about those potential hurdles that might come up. So U is understand potential challenges. The N is non-negotiable. So what are your absolute non-negotiables every single day? So it could be, I'm going to drink X amount of water every single day. For me, number one on mine is that I will always kiss my wife and my kids good morning, good night. Always tell them that I love them every single day. Another one is that I will always reach out to, every single day, I will touch or reach out to 3 current clients and 3 potential clients. So just build out a list of 8 to 10 non-negotiables of how you're going to live your life every single day. What's that, son? The D is delegate. So go back to the tasks that you have written, so that the goals that you may have written. Anybody that's done the training will know that we also do our Ivy Lee list, which is the 6 major tasks that we must complete tomorrow, and see if there's any that you can delegate. Is every single one of them utilizing your skill set to its full potential? Are you really an asset to the business right now, or can I go, do you know what, I probably don't need to sit and do my Facebook posts every single day as much as I like it. I don't need to sit on Canva every single day as much as it's quite fun. I can delegate that to somebody else. Might not always be possible, I get that, but it's worth just paying some consideration to that. So delegate is obviously something that we need to do. A A is, what was A? Address issues early. So something quite pertinent to you right now today, which we won't go into. But if you've got challenges, if you've got, maybe you've got a disgruntled customer, you've got a potential refund request, nip it in the bud as quickly as possible. So eat that frog. If you've got a staff member that you need to have a conversation with, if you're going to be letting somebody go, if you're hiring somebody and you think, if I procrastinate or if I leave it till this afternoon, they might get another job offer from somebody else. So if there's an issue, if there's something of paramount importance, let's do it nice and early. And why, this is the clever one, why is remember your why. Hey, you like
fantastic.
That?
Fantastic.
So, I don't know, it just comes to me. So remember your why, which is just reinforcing the underlying reason behind everything. Mm-hmm. Because ultimately, things get hard. Like, life is tough. Business is tough. Relationships are tough. Like, everything is tough at some stage. And if you don't have a real reason behind why you're doing something in the first place, then you'll just give up at the first sign of a challenge, of a hurdle, of some sort of friction, or somebody giving you some sort of kickback. You'll just throw the towel in and you'll become that shiny object person that we spoke about earlier on. So I think it's really important that every single week that you reinforce the reason behind it all. Like, why did we create Swish? Our mission was to change the perception of an industry that is tarnished. But on top of that, now being over 7 years in, nearly 8,000 clients deep, we've, and I don't say this in a glib fashion, and I say it very intentionally, we've transformed a lot of lives. Like, some people have said we've saved their lives, we've saved their marriages and their relationships. Like, that's cool. Like, that's really, really cool, powerful and fulfilling. That's why we do it. So if I get one customer that's a little bit frustrated, or if somebody gives me a little bit of abuse online because I wear a red pocket square or whatever it is, right? That's all right, because the reason I'm doing it is much bigger than that. So that's what the Sunday session is to find 30 minutes, have a big reset, and set yourself up for a really big week within the big year.
Yeah, awesome. Alrighty, you've got number 9, create non-negotiables, standards that you live by daily.
Yeah, okay, so I think I touched on it, didn't I, in the Sunday sesh, so the end was non-negotiable, so just putting some more meat around that. Literally create yourself those 8 to 10 things that you will do every single day from the second you wake up to the minute that you go to bed at night, and do it in all facets of your life. So the easiest way to create non-negotiables is to think about those 5 core verticals again, personal, business, family, health, and family. Did I say family twice? Maybe not. Anyway, tell me if I said family twice. And just go, what are my non-negotiables on a day-to-day basis around my family? What are my health non-negotiables? So it might be that you start getting up at 5:15 instead of 5:30. It might be that you drink 2.5 liters of water instead of 2 liters of water. From a business perspective, if obviously we're a sales training company, maybe your outreach increases by 10% from where you are right now. Sit there and work out what was in 2021, what was my average outreach every single day, week, month, year, and I'm going to increase 10% on top of that. That is non-negotiable. At the end of every single day, I'm now going to make 55 calls instead of 50 calls each day, right, for argument's sake. And laminate them, put them somewhere that you can see them every single day. Mine are on my whiteboard up there. And just remind yourself that that is the standard that I set for my life, right? We all have a standard. We all give off first impressions, whether we like it or not. When people see you on social media, they think something, whether you like it or not. How do you want to be seen? How do you want to be perceived? And what standard are you setting for your own life? And do it intentionally, not by chance.
Perfect. Number 10, we are coming to the home stretch, but cash flow forecast for your personal life as you would for your business life.
Yeah, so cash flow forecasting, I'm sure most people know these days, but if you don't, it's just a simple process of looking at all of the expenses that are coming up in a month-to-month basis. So not saying these are our overheads for the whole year, but saying I've got a subscription of XYZ service and it comes out in August every single year, right? So I don't go, I'm gonna pay $1,200 for the year for it, I'm gonna divide that by 12 and it's just $100 a month. I say in August I'm gonna pay $1,200, right? So And I break that down into every aspect of my business. But most people don't do that on a personal level. They don't look at all of the subscriptions they've got, the petrol that's going out, the food and the grocery bills they've got, the kindy fees. Build it out, write it out. Go, what are my overheads on a weekly, monthly, yearly basis? For us, October is my youngest Fox's birthday. Then on my birthday, Fox's birthday. Then it's November is Alicia's birthday and the dog's birthday. And then in December, it's Mav's birthday. Then we've got Christmas. So we've got more expenses at the back end of the year. Like, we know that. We're organizing kids' parties and jumping castles and bouncy castles for people in the UK and all of that jazz, right? So we can forecast ahead for that, which means that we can then budget in accordance with it as well. So don't just create a cash flow forecast in business, create one on a personal level too.
Fantastic. Number 11, we've got show gratitude. Intentionally reach out to 3 people each week that you have or could have a positive impact on.
Yeah, when I wrote that one, I don't think I'd ever even acknowledged that was what I was doing. When you said to me, Ryan, can we write 12 steps to success, like the 12 days of Christmas for a successful 2022? I obviously started to look at my own life and go, okay, well, I don't know if I class myself as successful, but I've definitely had levels of success in the last few years. So I'm like, well, what do? And I just realized that's one of the things that I do. And I wrote 3 as a very conservative number because I will be sending out way more messages than that. But it's just, I think it's part of one of my non-negotiables is to reach out to 3 potential clients and 3 current clients. And if it's a current client, it could also be a friend or a colleague. I'm just sending them a message saying, hey, I just really appreciate your ongoing support. Hope everything's going okay. Proud of the journey that you're on, inspired by what you're doing over there, blah, blah, blah. And I just do it. So I was like, okay, well, that's something maybe that we can add to our life because it is, you'll be surprised at the messages you get back, which are both inspiring and humbling because people will say, oh, thank you for thinking of me. Like, you either helped with this or you're inspiring too. And I don't do it to get those messages back, but when you do get one, it is really, really nice. So yeah, intentionally build in some levels of gratitude into your life. What I will say, there's sometimes an argument or a discussion around being grateful for what you have and showing gratitude and being ambitious. And I think sometimes people get chastised for being really ambitious, wanting to succeed, wanting to achieve more, as they might be seen as not being grateful for what they have. Like, I've come a long way. This business has come a long way. I'm nowhere near the person I was in 2010 when I moved over here, which is fine. We're supposed to grow. And I know, because I've had it said to me, people say, you should be grateful for what you've got now, where you live, what you drive. The Gold Coast is one of the most beautiful places in the world, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I am grateful. Like, I'm 100% grateful for that. But I still want to achieve more. I still want to drive. I still want to impact more people, right? The bigger we grow, the more we can impact. So whilst we're showing gratitude, I want that to give us a level of humility and inspiration as well internally, but don't allow it to then, slow down your ambition for people that might say to you every now and then, you should be grateful for what you've got because there's always someone worse off. I actually think that sentence, there's always someone worse off, is totally debilitating to somebody's potential. So I think it's a dangerous area to have a conversation around. So yes, there is always somebody worse off, and yes, there's always somebody better off. So I can be grateful for what I've got and I can drive myself forward to achieve more things. And by sending out that message a few times a week, actually inspires you to drive on and achieve more, to impact more.
Fantastic. Awesome. Number 12, lucky last. Now, the 12th step for our 12 steps for a successful 22 is find what re-energizes you and intentionally plan your day around it.
Yes. So if this has been shown, we're building this up to the 12 days of Christmas. So is this on Christmas Eve or is this Christmas Day?
This is the big one. It's one of the two, yeah.
This is the big one. All right, no pressure. Okay, well, firstly, Merry Christmas if you are watching this the day before Christmas. Hope you've been good and you get all that you want this year. What re-energized you? So this came from a conversation initially with Luke Mathers, who is an author of a book called Stress Teflon. He's become a mentor of mine. I hosted a retreat with him called Primal Reset this year. And he said to me, Ryan, like, you need to intentionally find time for you every single day. And to do that, it's not just finding time and then going, all right, well, that's it, I'm sitting by myself. It's like intentionally going, what lights me up? What re-energizes me? When I've had a tough day, when I've had a stressful week, is there one thing that I can do? Is there a piece of music that I can listen to? Is there a food that I can eat? Is there a restaurant, a bar, if you can go to, that that makes you happy? Is there somebody that you can spend some time with that always inspires you? And as we went through this, I just started thinking away from the conversation, and I realized that my two things were silence and solitude, right? I love being by myself. I love being in silence. I'm an introvert by nature, so that's kind of my little safe place. And I love sunlight. Like, I've always, I don't know if you can see it right now because it was a few days ago, but I've got sunburn right now from spending a bit of time.
Just on the tip of your
nose? I got burnt just there, yeah.
How's that happened?
I don't know. Spent a bit of time over the weekend in the sun and got a little bit burnt. But I enjoy the sun. The feeling of being alone in the sun, in silence, preferably on a beach where I can hear the waves crashing. So it's not quite silence, but I could walk away from that after an hour, and that will set my whole week up. Mm. So after that, I communicated that to my wife, Alicia, and I'm like, I just need this. And if you've got kids, people will get this. Like, sometimes there's just a little noise in the background all the time. There's just that little whinge, like 24/7, just always going on. So we now both, she has since joined a gym, and that's one of the things that lights her up. And I just said, I just need an hour on a Saturday when the kids go to bed in the middle of the day at the moment. I just need to go and get myself some silence and some sunlight. It doesn't have to be an overly sunny day, but just to get outside. On top of that, what Luke encouraged me to do, like right now we're sitting in our studio, which has got blackout blinds. I spend a lot of time in here coaching companies all over the world, and it's pretty dark, it's pretty gloomy, with these big bright lights looking at us. So we're on the Gold Coast Highway here. I can open the blinds, I can step outside onto a balcony and get some sunlight. So Luke has told me to intentionally, after every single session, walk out of this office, get some sunlight, and get some me time as well. What I was previously doing was I'd finish a session, I'd go straight onto my emails and just stay in here. And then I'd go home at the end of the day and I'm totally drained. Mm. And then it was almost like everybody internally within the business and all of our clients was getting the best of me, and then Alicia and my family were getting the rest of me, and that wasn't fair on them. So just creating those little snippets, those little 1%ers every day, figuring out what it is first is important, will allow you to be more energized, more focused, and hopefully more fulfilled every single day as well.
Fantastic. Awesome. Thank you, Ryan.
You're welcome. Thanks for asking the questions. Hope you enjoyed it. For everybody else that listened, as always, I was Ryan Tuckwood, my glamorous host, assistant videographer. No way!
The other camera's still on.
Unfortunately, that camera didn't want to hear about this, but my glamorous host, assistant, or videographer, whatever you want to call him, Jackson Ernge, has been asking some wonderful questions. Have yourself a phenomenal Christmas, a really, really successful 2022, and we will see you when we get back on January 10th. Bye for now.